Okay, ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the Slayer Report. It is my incredible privilege to welcome somebody I've wanted to get on for a long time, but I've been waiting for her to drop her legal, I don't know what to call it, first wave attack. Anyway, Leslie Mnookin is a fellow Wall Streeter. She had an unbelievably successful career on Wall Street, both in New York and London. She worked for a company I worked for, Goldman Sachs. We could certainly talk about that. And she became very interested in what was happening with vaccines and vaccine injury, and ended up producing one of the best documentaries ever done on vaccines, The Greater Good, quite a significant accomplishment. It was certainly an educational journey. And then when, as the pandemic started, Leslie decided to do something about it and started an entity, the Health Freedom Defense Fund, to bring litigation. It's a fight fund, and she just, the Defense Fund just filed their first remarkable piece of litigation. I wanted to get her on to talk about it. She is also, everybody who's a subscriber to the Slayer Reporter, our audience, know the Weston Price Foundation. She is also a member of the board of the Weston Price Foundation. Leslie, that's major status in our world. So you have quite a resume here, and I just want to thank you, first of all, for everything you're doing and for taking time out of what is now a very busy schedule to join us on the Solaria Report. So bravo for you, and thank you for coming.
Well, back at you, Catherine. It's an honor to be here with you today, and I'm thrilled to be here and to talk about what I'm doing. It's, you know, you're one of my heroes, and I know a hero to so many of us in just the entire liberty movement, not just health freedom, but in the whole liberty movement and the truth movement, right? Because, you know, we're just being deceived every time we turn around. Yeah. Can I just say one thing just so you know?
Yeah.
It's Mnookin, not Mnookin.
Okay,
I make that really clear. No, don't you worry, but I make it really clear because Seth Mnookin is a guy who wrote a book trying to discredit anyone who calls into question the safety of vaccines. And so
really?
I really want to differentiate between Seth Mnookin and Leslie Mnookin.
So you have to tell me where your name came from.
Well, I'm Armenian.
Ah, okay.
And very so good. And all Armenian names end in almost all of them in I-A-N or Y-A-N, depending on if you're Russian or where, if you were in,
Okay, well, I've been waiting for a long time for you to file the lawsuit, and it's very exciting. It's about masks, and masks have becoming one of the most vicious fights on the whole planet. So tell us about how you started the fund, and then tell us about your lawsuit.
Well, so I got into health freedom, and like you said, I was working on Wall Street many, many years ago, and I started to learn about vaccine injury. I had no idea it even existed. And then that led to me making The Greater Good and really launching me into the whole vaccine safety awareness and vaccine freedom movement. Right. And so, you know, I spoke all over the world and have been on television and news and, you know, interviewed lots of places. And most importantly, what it really did was launch me on a path of research. And so I've been researching what's been going on for 20 years. I was very much asleep at the wheel until about 20 years ago. I had no clue that there was any downside to vaccines or that government ever lied to us. I was a complete, why would they lie to us? I believed. It's hilarious now because I've taught my son, who's 18, question everything, especially people in authority. Don't take anything on his face. Uh-huh. And I was the exact opposite of, you know, of that. I just didn't ever think that people could be that evil that they would lie to us. You know, the government was good.
I just have to interrupt you for a second. I just learned, I hadn't realized that The Greater Good was taken down by Amazon last year.
2 years ago.
My.
Yeah.
2 years ago. It was in 2019?
Uh-huh.
Oh my God.
Yes. So this is a really important thing is that this is why I was going to say I've done 20 years of research. And what I've learned is that what is going on is not an accident. It's part of a long-term agenda and a plan.
Right. Right.
And the reason I say this is if you look back, I mean, the Bayh-Dole Act of 1980 facilitated, it legalized U.S. government employees who were doing research utilizing taxpayer dollars to keep patents on their intellectual property that they developed off your back. And So now what's the situation? Well, Anthony Fauci's NIAID and Anthony Fauci himself, but his employees and he himself own half the patent on the Moderna vaccine.
It's unbelievable.
And they get up to 150 grand a year for every single patent. And it's not just one big patent. There's individual patents on different things that they will have developed or discovered or, you know, perfected. And so they can make a ton of money on this. It's a huge conflict of interest.
It's a kickback machinery.
Yes,
it's a way
exactly.
to make kickbacks legal.
Yes. And the point is that that happened in 1980. And then in 1992, they introduced the Prescription Drug User Fee Act, which allowed the pharmaceutical industry to completely capture the FDA. And so now the FDA's drug approval, the people who license drugs and review the submissions from the pharmaceutical industry, their salaries, roughly 60%, come directly from the pharmaceutical industry itself.
Right. Right.
So it's really important for people to understand all these steps that have gotten us here. And then what happened in 2019 that you brought up about the greater good being taken down from Amazon Prime. It'd been there for almost 4 years, streamed there, you know, it was on the free streaming service for Prime members. And what happened was Congressman Adam Schiff wrote to Amazon, Google, Facebook, YouTube, and asked them to take down anything that questioned the mainstream dictates on vaccines.
Right.
And they acquiesced.
Right.
So that's where we are.
Right.
So,
in a sense, it's what, if you look at the Children's Health Defense lawsuit against Facebook, it's essentially this issue of whether or not they're acting as a government.
Which they're clearly not. And we now know that really clearly in the last week or 10 days where they've actually come out and saying that they are going to, that they have been working together with the big tech companies and they're not happy with the progress so far that they've made with taking down this information. Well, if that's the case, then Facebook is a state actor. They're not a private
corporation. Right, exactly. Yeah.
We have something in the works on this front. I'm not going to speak specifically about it because I think it's going to be a really big deal, but there's something that's going to, that, you know, we're working on something on this, which will be fantastic.
Yeah. Great.
Yeah. So anyway, so, you know, I did all this research and I started realizing, well, gosh, the Patriot Act allowed warrantless searches of all Americans. And then the Model State Emergency, and that was 2001, 45 days after 9/11. And then within 2 weeks after that, they introduced the Model State Emergency Health Powers Act legislation, which allows or it accords extraordinary powers to governors and public health officials in the event of a disease emergency. And, you know, all these things have led us to where we are. And in 2019, when Schiff was asking for this, it was after the supposed measles outbreak at Disney, where they never found patient zero. And the adults who got it, more than 50% of them, if I remember correctly, were fully vaccinated. So the story should have been about vaccine failure, not about anti-vaxxers, but it was the story that they planted in order to stir people up, to ram through the legislation in California and elsewhere, removing religious exemptions and removing all but very, very narrowly defined medical exemptions. So I just wanted to share that because it's really important that, you know, this unfolded last year,
number one, there's a plan, but there is an enormous infrastructure of big money and power working to implement this plan and has been for a long time.
Yeah, absolutely, Catherine. That's exactly it. So last January of 2020, when I first heard the initial reports about some disease in China, I said to my husband, oh, I know where this is going. I knew exactly. And he didn't want to believe me. He's like, no, it's not going to be that bad, honey. It's not going to be that bad. And I said, something is coming up on my screen. I don't know why it's doing this. I keep telling it not to. I said to him, you know, this is going to, this is going to get really, really ugly. And I know where this is going. There are going to be lockdowns. They're starting this in China so they can show the rest of the world how to lock down. That's what they're doing.
Right.
And he thought, no, no, no. And I said, you just wait, you know? So, and then remember, I know this will have struck a chord with you. Remember when they started talking about paper money?
Oh yeah, 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 yeah.
He lives on paper money for 14 days. Yeah. No, I think it was 9, then 14, then 23 or 27 days. And I said, you watch, this is going to be the cover for them to start getting rid of paper money.
Right.
Right. Pushing us towards digital currency,
right,
you know, to enable complete comprehensive control. Anyway, so all this started happening. And as soon as it was unfolding, I was really concerned. And it just so happened that at the end of 2019, my husband and I had an investment and we met an amazing man who is my general counsel now. His name is George Wentz, and he served in the Reagan administration, and he's taken down some of the biggest corporations in the world. He, like Siemens of Germany, the whole board had to resign because he exposed their fraud. And
he's from New Orleans, and I'll tell you something, the folks in New Orleans know how to fight.
Right. You know, so he's taken these people down, and he knows what they're like. He knows what he's up against. And that's really important because there are amazing lawyers who are in this fight with us, but most of them haven't had the kind of experience that George has had, where he's taken on these really seriously evil behemoths and understands all the games they're going to play and right, how to build in defense mechanisms to our lawsuits in order to prevent their motions and things like that. So he came into my life and I started educating him about the vaccine issue, and he couldn't believe it. He would go and dig things up and be like, you're right, you can't sue them. Oh, and there's this fake kangaroo court, and there's no discovery and no due process. You know, he couldn't believe it. For a man who's believed in the law his whole life and given himself to the law, he was really offended and shocked. And so,
what in the world does he think of having injections where you're not allowed to know what's in it?
Oh, of course he thinks it's insane.
Right.
So he, through the course of talking to him, he was like, Leslie, someone's got to do something about this. And I said, you're right, George. That's you and me. And I fully believe that he was a godsend, you know, to help this fight, because he and his team are just so experienced, so accomplished. And that was the impetus for me to start Health Freedom Defense Fund.
Mm-hmm.
So I began Health Freedom Defense Fund. It was about, I guess, we stood it up in August of last year. And mm-hmm, we actually helped the employees of the Los Angeles Unified School District to sue the school district. So we've done that.
Fabulous. I didn't realize that.
Yes, we did that. That was our first thing in March. And then we also sued a locality, a small city in Idaho, over their mask mandate.
Mm-hmm.
And then this is the big one, the federal mask mandate. So that's essentially what happened. So I started Health Freedom Defense Fund, and we are committed to health freedom, bodily autonomy. And I want to codify that in law, that idea, and also really cultivate an appreciation for that, for the idea of bodily autonomy, sovereignty in the public consciousness. It's so important to really instill that, because that's, you know, a sense of respect for that has been undermined for a century.
Right. So tell us your URL. You can become a member, you can donate, you can get the latest news. Tell us a little bit about how to find you before we dive into the new lawsuit.
So healthfreedomdefense.org is the URL. We have a fund, but we also, you know, educate and share information, and we help as many people as we can. But to be very honest, we were going to do individual lawsuits for people pushing back when they were threatened with masks or testing or termination, you know, for not abiding by those, or, and worst of all, for the vaccine mandates. And what happened was we were flooded with thousands of requests. Catherine, we can't do that.
But you have some very good resources and tools for people fighting mask mandates, vaccine mandates. So if you go to your website and I think you click on resources, you do provide tools for individuals to use that I think are very useful.
Yes, we do. So we put those out there to help people so that they are empowered. But we made a strategic choice that we needed to leverage our resources, our manpower, and our, you know, the money that we do have in the most, in the highest impact avenue. Right. And that means bigger lawsuits, not whack-a-mole.
Right.
There's no way that we can pursue. We would need an army of lawyers, and we don't have that. And we would need tens of millions of dollars, and we don't have that, you know?
Well, but here's the thing. If you look at who's fighting the employee and the school mandates on the ground, if you give them the right tools and information, it's amazing what they can do by themselves. So I just think the important thing is to get tools out there and then do the, you know, the kind of lawsuit you're doing. So I want to, so you're suing the Biden administration, both the president, the Secretary of Health and Human Services, and I believe the head of the CDC, all in their official capacity. And you filed it in Florida, which I find very, it's the U.S. District Court in Tampa.
Yes.
Tell us a little bit. So you're litigating mask mandates. Tell us why you chose masks. And then tell us why you chose to file in Florida.
Sure. And let me just say really quickly on the individual lawsuits, several of us health freedom groups are working on building a team of attorneys.
Fabulous.
To whom we can refer people. So that's, we're trying to do that as much as possible because we don't want to leave people. We've given them resources. We're trying to help them. But at the end of the day, people have to stand up.
Right.
People, you know, there's no way that we can win this completely for other people. We need millions and millions of people to say no, right. You're not going to mask my child. No, you know, all these things. So it's really right. important that people don't rest,
right?
You know, complacent in the idea that Health Freedom Defense Fund is here to help you and save the day, because right. we'll do all we can and utilize our expertise and resources to do that. But we need your financial support. And very importantly, we need you to show up. We right. need you to put pressure on school boards. We need you to insist that people respect your rights while we fight this in the courtroom.
Right.
You know, it's both.
Right.
So
right.
coming back to, the federal mask mandate lawsuit. So my ex-husband has a saying, which I think is so great, and it's the thin end of the wedge. I think it's more of a British saying. We don't say it in the United States very much, but I think it's really important, right? It's the thin end of the wedge, the slippery mm-hmm. slope. Masks, I had someone criticized it. Someone wrote me a really kind of nasty email and said, you know, I can't believe you're doing this. What a waste of time and energy. And do you really want to die on this hill and for something so trivial as masks?
Wow. I think cutting off children's oxygen is pretty important.
Not only that, how about just our connection to everyone?
Right.
How about children's ability to know who's safe and who's dangerous? I mean, our face is our avatar in public.
Right.
It
right.
is what we show to the world, and we tell people through our facial expressions, whether we're hostile or friendly,
right.
whether we, you know, are in a sad place or ready to fight. It's
right.
so important. It's how we communicate. I mean,
right.
we communicate more through nonverbal expression, through our face and bodily, you know, why can't I think of the term, but through our body, you know, how we hold our bodies,
right.
than
and
we do through what we're saying.
I also think, you know, I love C.J. Hopkins. I don't know if you've discovered C.J. Hopkins yet. He's a very famous playwright who started just writing essays. He got so irritated. And he's the guy who came up with the term, the COVIDian cult. And I think one of the great important things about the mask is they're almost using the mask to get you to pretend in the cults and adopt the face of the cults.
100%.
And do something which you know is completely scientifically absurd.
Yeah.
And not only that, do it in a way, because, you know, this day you have to do it, or you have to wear it into the restaurant, but you don't have to wear it when you eat, or, you know, you get all these completely absurd rules that are clearly absurd, and they're making you pretend that they're not absurd. It's part of your initiation into the cult.
I 100% agree. I think it is
right.
part of the initiation into the cult. And let's be honest that masking people historically has been part of cults, right? It's because
right.
it divorces you from your connection to your own self, right? It dehumanizes you. It's like a you're no longer who you are.
Right.
You are who we are going to create you as.
Right.
And people, I think most people are, or a lot of people are unwitting. But I do think that that's part of the issue. And then I think with respect to children, it's just training them. I mean, those kids are going to grow up and be very, very controllable.
Right.
Right. Because they have been taught to submit to
absurdity.
Some of the most, to absurdity and egregious violations of their own self.
Right.
Whether they're conscious of it or not at this point, that's what's being done to them. So I think it does a few things. You know, one is it has all these developmental issues, then there are mental and emotional issues. I mean, I'm enraged if I have to put one on because I feel like I'm being muzzled and I'm being humiliated.
Right.
It's humiliating, especially when you know that there's no science supporting it, right?
Right.
So there's all that. And then there's the division socially. And then there's this just submission to authority. That's what it's really about. It's a muzzle, right?
Right.
It's a way to say, and to dehumanize you so that you're just an animal. You're a faceless animal to be corralled into wherever the overlords deem it appropriate.
Right. It's training you to adapt to slavery.
Yes, completely.
Right.
So to me, it's the thin end of the wedge for all those reasons. And also because it trains you to then accept forced injections, the way that we would force a cow to be injected, right? You go into a confined animal feed operation, which I vehemently oppose. But you go in there and those animals are fed what they're given. They're injected with whatever. They are low forms of life.
Right.
And this is what masks do to us. They turn us into lower forms of life, faceless animals.
Right.
So we felt that it was a super important point to fight for that reason. And then also because if people had stood up when this nonsense started a year ago, we wouldn't be dealing with forced vaccination.
Right.
Exactly. And this is what I said to this nurse who wrote to me and said, you know, is this where you want to die? And I'm like, we wouldn't be dealing with this if people had not complied last year.
Right. But again and again, we're getting hit with mandates. And mandates which are not backed up by science and which are not appropriate. And every one of them has to be stopped. And you know, the way we stop them is one person stops this one and one person stops this one. And, you know, if every one of us does our bit to stop, you know, what we can stop, that's how we're going to change. You know, that's how the tide turns. So I'm absolutely grateful that you're willing to take on one of them. Do you know what I mean?
I think it's a really important one. I mean, let's be honest. It beggars belief that there was no mask mandate on airplanes until the Biden administration took over. Right. It was almost a year after the pandemic began.
Right.
No matter what you believe about the pandemic, right? It was so, why all of a sudden is there a need for this when clearly we're in a much better place than we were a year ago? So why is it now that it's important? And why is it, you know, there are so many reasons, but we can unpack that. So to your question about Miami.
Go explain why you're doing it in Florida.
Yeah. So in Florida, there have been some very, very good decisions by the Middle District of Florida. So that's the Tampa area. DeSantis sued the CDC over their edicts that the cruise industry abide by certain rules that they decided. It's really important to understand that the CDC is not a nationwide police force.
Right.
It is not charged with implementing any kind of health laws. Those rights are reserved to the states.
Right. They have no statutory authority to do this.
No statutory or regulatory authority.
Right.
Okay. And so that was one of the reasons that we fought. But anyway, what happened was the courts in Tampa decided that that DeSantis was right. And they struck down the CDC.
Right.
CDC appealed, and the appeal was denied. So basically, CDC was trying to say, yes, we do have this right. And now the 11th Circuit has weighed in saying that that they side with the CDC. It's not going to be resolved. But the point is,
where's the 11th Circuit?
It's out west,
I thought.
Deep. No. Okay. Then maybe I have the wrong one. I don't think so. I think it's there, Catherine. And they basically said that this isn't, they are going to try and challenge what the appeals court said. There's, my point is that it's ongoing because of what you said in the beginning, masks right. have become this huge fight because it's political. It's not about the science. It's not about truth because it's part of this bigger agenda. It's not about
right.
what's right. It's not about your freedom. It's not about your airway. It's not about those things. It's about something else.
It's about control.
It's about control, 100%.
Right.
So Tampa was very favorable because of the fact that they've already, you know, they have a good mixture of Obama and Trump appointees, and they've already found favorably. It's a more conservative district than
right.
Miami for sure, first than right. Southern Florida. So that was one of the reasons that we chose there. And we drew a fantastic judge. She's
fabulous.
Youngest judge. She's a member of the Federalist Society. She's her opinions have upset the woke crowd repeatedly. And so we're very, very enthusiastic about that. Very, you know,
do you have
like
any, now you've
got a bad judge
trial.
In LA.
Oh, you Pardon? Did. You've asked for a jury trial. Do you know when this trial could happen?
Well, could we've be scheduled? We've asked for a jury trial, but we've also asked, have we filed that yet? We're going to file a preliminary injunction asking okay. the, actually, no, we've asked for a declaratory.
Okay.
For a declaratory judgment by the judge. And what that means is that we've asked the judge to evaluate the merits of the case, evaluate the law, and rule.
Right.
If she does not rule, then we will go to trial. But we think that the CDC has so clearly overstepped its statutory and regulatory authority that we will win.
What do I know? But CDC clearly does not have the statutory authority. But even if it did, your case that they didn't go through, if they do have statutory authority, they did not go through the notice and the you know, the required process of doing it. So they're just making things up out of thin air.
Absolutely. So what people need to understand is that first, President Biden issued an executive order.
Right.
Okay. And then the CDC took that and implemented the rule that everyone has to wear a mask when they're in a transportation hub and on interstate travel. So intrastate travel is not affected. If that's not arbitrary and capricious, I don't know what is. But the point is that...
No, but Leslie, the magic virus only crosses state borders. Within a state, you don't have to worry about it. It's only when you're only at risk when you cross a state border.
Yes. And you're only at risk if you're standing up in a restaurant, but not if you're sitting at your table.
Right. There you go. It's very important to understand this magic virus.
It's just so ridiculous. It's beyond. I think this is another piece of it that we didn't talk about. And I think we really should. This is gaslighting of a level
right.
heretofore unseen. And
right.
that's important because you are literally getting people to buy into sheer absurdity. And if you can do that, they'll do anything, right?
Yes,
and so you're
absolutely.
Really messing with their brains.
Yeah, you're requiring them to join a cult.
Yes.
I mean, my favorite one, what was it? I'm gonna skip way ahead, which I shouldn't do, but the American Academy of Pediatrics, may they live in hell forever, you know, has come out and said that children over two for school should wear masks, even if they're vaccinated. So this one I love because this is very cult-like. You know, the idea of getting the vaccination was you get the injection and then you're free. It's like a magic elixir. Mm-hmm. A friend of mine used to watch gummy bears the gummy bear cartoons when he was little. It's like the magic potion that the gummy bears use. And then you can travel, you know, you're free to travel. So they had all these promises related to the injection, but now they're saying even if you had your child injected, they have to wear a mask.
I know.
That is very cult.
Well, the thing is, and the irony is, of course, that other people who've been injected don't have to, but just children do.
Right.
Right? If you
Well, because the magic virus only, you know, it only affects children.
So you can go to concerts and you can go to sporting events maskless if you've been injected. But if you're a child at zero risk from this supposed virus, you have to wear a mask.
Right.
I mean, if that is not about indoctrination, I don't know what it is.
My favorite one, of course, is the Sydney, it's the New South Wales health officer who said the other day that you couldn't talk to each other even if you were wearing masks.
they just said full out, do not talk to other people. Literally. If that doesn't tell you what this is really about, dividing right. us, I mean, maybe you are just too fast asleep to be woken up, you know? So that AAP thing, I think it's really important for people to remember that people think of the AAP and the American Medical Association as these pseudo, as pseudo government entities, right? Medical right. authorities. And the truth right. is that they are trade groups that take millions upon millions of dollars from the pharmaceutical industry.
That's and in the exchange, truth. They do what they're told.
And in exchange, they do what they're told. And right. let's be clear, we wouldn't take the coal industry's word for whether or not coal emits mercury into our atmosphere, would we?
No, I don't
so
think
so. So why are we taking these people's word on these things? And why? I mean, it's just insane. And the science, oh my gosh, the science is so unequivocal that they are worthless, really worthless. In terms of stopping any spread
somebody
of
a put
virus.
out a really cute tweet. I should have sent it to you. He says, which scientists is it you think we should trust? The tobacco industry scientists, the carbonated drink industry scientists, the coal industry scientists. You know, they listed all these. It was the pharmaceutical industry science. Okay, so let's jump back. I want to stop for a second from your litigation. We have seen in Europe some unbelievably bitter cases over masks where judge ruled in support of throwing out the mask mandate and literally have had their houses raided, the expert witnesses raided. We now have a new study that's been retracted under very suspicious circumstances that showed that masks for children made absolutely no sense. Tell us how vicious that fight has gotten.
It's really sad. You know, that's not the first paper that's been retracted. Another guy published a paper all about the uselessness of masks. He had done some kind of an affiliation. He had an affiliation at Stanford for a few years, and then he didn't anymore. And he said that he was affiliated with Stanford, and they retracted his paper. And it was an amazing paper. So this is not the first. But basically, I think it's important that we all understand that science has been weaponized.
Right.
That's what's really happening. And people don't realize this, but the pharmaceutical industry owns the medical journals.
Right.
They not only subscribe, they not only get their studies published in those medical journals, but they also pay for what are called reprints. So if you open up a journal and you look at a study that they've published and it's on Lipitor, what will happen is the pharmaceutical maker of Lipitor will then pay the journal an extraordinary amount of money to have that article taken out, printed separately with Lancet or New England Journal of Medicine on the cover. So it's got the normal cover and then the article is separate and then it will be sent to thousands of doctors all over the world.
Wow.
Some journals like JAMA and Lancet, they make 40% or more of their revenues from reprints is what it's called. Reprints. This is
wow.
unbelievable. Okay. They are so what this tells you is that they are really truly beholden to the pharmaceutical industry. And the editor, the former editor of the New England Journal of Medicine, Marcia Angel, she has said that, you know, it's a crapshoot. And so has
right.
Richard Horton, the editor of The Lancet. They both said that the science can't be trusted, that it's no better than a coin toss. Whether or not it's real, and that a vast majority of it is probably fraudulent. That's what they say. Or a big chunk of it's fraudulent.
Right. I just sent you that article today from the BMJ Journal, Time to Assume That Health Research is Fraudulent Until Proven Otherwise. Have you seen that?
I have not, but I will read it for sure. It just reinforces. So the point is that these journals are owned by the industry.
Right.
And the industry wants you to be afraid so that you'll get vaccinated. So they don't want any science out there that casts any doubt on the usefulness or safety of masks. And so what's happened is the first study I told you about from the guy who was said he was affiliated with Stanford, they retracted that. He showed wide evidence of harm and very, very low to no efficacy. And so they retracted it. I think that's one big reason. They said it was because of that he distorted his quotes and that he had lied about his affiliation. But I think it's political more than anything. And this thing in Germany that's just happened is just jaw dropping. So and when I say Germany, I don't mean the judges. There were two judges who've been had their offices raided, as well as scientists and children's advocates and parents, eight different individuals. And what was their crime? Well, the judge ruled that schools can't mask children because the science isn't there and because it's a abuse of children. And so now they've just gone after him and they've raided him twice. So, but the study I'm talking about is really important. And this study, it took a bunch of kids and it had them wear masks for 3 minutes and it tested the CO2 inside their masks. And what they found was that it was within 3 minutes, up to six times as high as what German federal regulations state is safe for background levels of CO2 in your environment. Six times. Now, CO2 is very, very dangerous. It is damaging to the heart, the vascular system, the brain, and it's not temporary. It can be permanent. It can cause real problems, as can low oxygenation. And CO2, important to know, it displaces oxygen. So when there's a CO2 buildup in your mask, it's harder for you to breathe in oxygen. And so it depletes, it not only raises your CO2, it depletes your oxygen. And so this is what they found. And boy, oh boy, did they go after them. So all, you know, a bunch of scientists said that the study was invalid, that they didn't use the right kind of measuring device and all these kinds of things. And none of it's true. And none of it warrants retraction. That's the most important part. This is the first clinical study evaluating CO2 buildup in mask use, mask wearers. You don't get rid of the study. You challenge it with another study and say, this is why your results are wrong.
Right.
Right? But it's not about the truth. No.
They can't do that. They have no basis. Yeah. You know, so they don't want to do it. I will tell you, the raids in Germany have just put an incredible chill throughout Europe. It's really scaring people because what it's saying is, you know, all health decisions in government and in the courts, in the schools, in the employers will be made for political reasons that have nothing to do with medicine. They have nothing to do with science. And if you don't play ball, we are coming after you.
Yeah.
You know, and it's very, you know, all I can say is it's very Bolshevik. I mean, it really feels like the Bolsheviks are back.
Yeah.
Well, right.
I personally think it's much more like the Third Reich. I mean, there's book burnings in the U.S. They're now going door to door asking for your papers, please, about vaccinations.
Right.
They're, you know, they are labeling those who are unvaccinated as variant factories. They are saying that they're killers, that they're killing people. That's what the president said. You know, President Biden said the only epidemic is in the unvaccinated and they're killing people. I'm telling you, they're killing people. That's what he said. This is...
So I'm getting the feeling that, you know, when this started, it's funny because you and I... When this started, you and I...
Can I just say one thing?
Yeah.
I just really want to say, all that you're talking about is why that chill, we've got to shake that off.
Right, exactly.
People have to rise up.
Yeah.
People, that should embolden you because you know what? If you don't, it's not going to get better. It's only going to get worse.
Right, exactly. So the more you go along, the worse you make it.
Compliance is complicity.
Right. I don't know if you just saw it. A group of protesters, you know, France has been going ballistic.
I'm loving it, cheering them on.
Yes, no, it's beautiful. But just in one town, they just broke into City Hall and took Macron's picture and held it upside down. It was great.
I didn't see that. That's fantastic.
The French are definitely leading the way. But yeah. So what's interesting is the more it's gotten this ridiculous, Leslie, the, you know, when this started at the beginning of 2020, you know, people like you and I were already educated to the fact that the official reality wasn't true and some very bad things were going on under the carpet. So we were already there. As you said, you know, you as you're talking about your discussion with your husband, you know, you were there, he hadn't come over yet. But as things get worse and worse and worse and more absurd and the lies get worse and worse, you know, 2 weeks to flatten a curve, that didn't work. Oh, if you take the vaccination, you're free to travel, that didn't work. You know, so as the lies get people on the treadmill and they start to see the lies, I think now if you look at who is ready to push back, who wasn't ready to push back a year ago, you know, these are people who really were in the official reality a year ago, and now they're moved out and they are furious.
Yeah.
Because one of the things, you know, if you're a doctor or scientist, if all facts and all therapies and all drugs are chosen politically as opposed to from science, you know, then you know it's you can't live in that world. There's no rock to stand on. There's no ground to stand on. It's all just, yeah, so.
Importantly, we don't have society either.
Right.
People come together voluntarily into groups, into society, you know, what we call society, because it's a benefit to them.
Right.
Because not everybody has to raise chickens and produce eggs then. People,
right.
Someone can do eggs and someone else can do art and someone else can do finance, right? That's the whole function of society. But
right.
What they're doing is saying that nothing is true. There's no
right.
objective reality.
Right.
There is nothing that we can hold on to that is objectively true.
Right.
And we're
and
seeing this not just about this, right? But we're seeing this
right.
in all other ways. All white people are racist. That's what they say.
Well, what they want is 100% control of everything. Everything.
Absolutely.
And, right. It's quite remarkable. I mean, the hubris is quite remarkable. Okay,
yeah.
So.
But
so,
I hope you're right. I hope that this, that it's getting so bad that more and more people will rise. Because as much as I'm trying to do with Health Freedom Defense Fund, and I, you know, like I say, I hope people will support this work, this really important work. We have some really big lawsuits in the works, aside from the mask, challenging the real evildoers and holding them
mm-hmm.
accountable. There's going to be some very, very big stuff coming out. We need people's support because it's really, you know, expensive. But aside from all
Absolutely.
That, we can't do it by ourselves. We need the hundreds of thousands
well, you,
of people
you,
in
right,
France,
you,
and we need them in America. We need them
right.
in every country. We need them standing up.
You need to be in the courts of law, but you need support from the courts of popular opinion. It
100%.
Matters tremendously. So I want to say, if everybody goes to the Take Action Crowdfund, you'll see that Health Defense Freedom is up there. And we donated immediately when we found out what you were doing. And so it's part of the Celeria donations. But I went to your website today, and I saw that you could now become a member. So I also became a member. So I would really recommend that everybody do it. A lot of people say, well, I don't have a lot of money. And what I have to tell you is, if everybody just gave a dollar, or everybody just gave a $10, or gave a dollar a month, or gave, do you know what I mean? Little, I'll never forget once in Tennessee, somebody, the Baptist Church published a record of all their tithes all year long from every church. And when you saw the amount of money that came from those dimes and nickels from every Sunday, from every church throughout the year, you were like, oh, wow, this is a huge river. So, you know, don't
I'll
think
tell
it's-
you the no, and the Weston Price Foundation, they I'll tell you, the majority of the donations come from small donors.
Right.
It's not from big donors.
Right.
Look, big donors are hugely important. I'm not suggesting that. But we need everybody. And yes, recurring donations, but anything is so helpful.
Well, but I'll tell you something else. The big donors, if they see thousands of little donors, they'll come in. You know, they don't like to be alone. So
completely.
So just remember, you know, your dollars matter tremendously. Okay, so Leslie,
Catherine, can I say something about membership real quick?
Absolutely, please.
So it's really important that people understand the importance of membership. It's
right.
$10 forever. You join for $10. And what it does is it gives us the ability to have standing
right.
in courts and regions all across the country.
Right. Right.
Okay, it doesn't give us standing outside the U.S. It's very clear. So people outside the U.S., it doesn't matter if you join as a member because we can't sue in Germany or France or anywhere else or India or something. But in the United States, it's extremely helpful to us because it means that we then can represent your interests and file on behalf of you in a lawsuit. This is what the Sierra Club does, for instance, right. is that they have members right. and it gives them what's called standing to right. sue in almost any venue.
Right. And I will also say it also gives you standing in the court of popular opinion. Right.
That so too. Of it course. Counts. Of
okay,
course.
Okay. So, really so tell us what we can expect between now and the end of the year. Obviously you have to keep certain things confidential, but I know you're going to be busy.
Mm-hmm. We have a suite of lawsuits planned. Uh-huh. So one of them is potentially against a university, private university.
Fabulous.
Yes.
Yes.
Very, very well-known one.
go.
And then we have a civil conspiracy case, which
Fabulous.
I've spoken about publicly, so I'm at liberty to speak about it now. It's basically going after all of the evildoers,
Good.
Fauci, Gates, the Good. Wellcome Trust, EcoHealth Alliance, all of these bad actors. We're going to take them on.
Good.
Then we have something that I mentioned about the whole technology thing that
Good.
We're in the works on. And then we've got some other stuff, which are very high level, very big and very important as well. You know, we really want to correct the balance of power with respect to who is pulling the strings in our world on healthcare decisions, medicine,
And I also have to say, Leslie, I'm a great believer in transparency. And one of the things I love about the kind of lawsuits that you're bringing is they bring critical and important transparency to what is going on. And they give you, you know, if you get standing in a suit, it gives you the ability to do depositions. It gives you the ability to get to subpoena documents. And the stuff that can come out is remarkable.
Yeah.
So this is a very important process.
Yeah. And so there are certain lawsuits, and we work with some other groups as well behind the scenes on some of these things, advising in particular, our legal team advising other teams. But what's really important is that each of our lawsuits will gain critical discovery. So we
Right.
will get information which will help us to construct the the finale. Let's just say that.
Right, right. All discovery builds the momentum for the, you know, it's leverage across the board.
Yes.
Okay, so I just have to tell you, have you heard about Cash Friday?
I've only gotten you sent me your meme and I love it. Love
so
it.
I was sitting, European CHD, Children's Health Defense, has an advisory board that I'm a member on. And so they had a meeting in Europe and Mary Holland and Meryl Nass flew over from the US. And we met and just had a remarkable couple of days. Vera Sharev was there, who I'd never met in person before. And whoa, she is a pistol. We just had so much fun. But we were talking about the passports and I was explaining the going direct reset and how the passports were part of getting complete financial control, you know, and basically travel control, labor control, complete financial transaction control. And so we're talking about, well, what could we do to stop an all digital system from happening? And I was saying, you know, we have to increase cash. So Mary just pops out in the middle of the room. She just says, well, what about, let's do Cash Friday. You know, because in America, everybody knows you dress down on Friday, you eat fish on Friday. You know, we're all used to doing special things on Friday. And every one of us just stopped and said, Mary, that's genius.
That's
genius. Yeah, it's a great idea. So, you know, because the pandemic really decreased the amount of cash being used. Although if you look at the Fed statistics, the cash is rising because people don't trust the system. It's what I think is happening. And they're also printing massive amounts of money. So anyway, but we all said, yeah, so we've started to do it. And I just want to encourage, you know, it's not the kind of powerful big action you're taking, but it's something everybody can do.
Oh, I think it's incredibly powerful because,
yeah.
Listen, if we refuse to participate in their system, I think the other thing we can do is, and I really encourage people to think about this, organize in your community and create your own currency.
Absolutely. So I don't know if you've seen this, because we remade this tool starting last year. We had had it up and it went down. It's called the Silver and Gold Calculator. And we're upgrading it now to 150 different currencies. But what I tell people is, you know, it's hard to start a community currency, but the way to start one to get the momentum going is to just do it. Just use your gold and silver coins and your local coins and cash. And if you can get a couple of business, you know, if you get 100 businesses and families together and agree to just circulate your gold and silver coins and your coins and cash, you know, you're out. My other favorite one, and we're working on getting the curriculum together for this, Bill Binney suggested this and I love it. He said, teach all the homeschoolers how, you know, get them to integrate curriculum to teach the kids cryptology, because he said, if all the kids in all the communities can do homegrown encryption systems, he said, it'll drive them crazy. They'll never be able to deal with it.
Oh, that's a great idea.
Isn't that a great idea? And so then we could do some digital financial transactions if we had that. So I just think the more we can circulate currency, equity, you know, trade locally. One of the things I love about Cash Friday is, if you look at the override that the digital systems are taking from local businesses on Main Street, you know, they're soaking up a big chunk of profits with their financial transactions. So if we can use cash, the other thing is, you know, if you save money because you're using cash, maybe you can give that money to the Health Defense Fund.
That's very sweet, yeah.
Do a little tithe. No, because I don't know if you saw this. If you come into the Take Action Crowdfund, which we started last year, I had a client, a former client, who sold some real estate and called me and said, should I put it in real estate or precious metals? And I said, what is it about that you don't understand about it's 2030, you have no assets and you're happy? I said, if you don't have an army to protect your assets, you won't have assets. So I suggest you take that money and you spend it on litigation. And so that's what started the Take Action Crowdfund. And I said, you know, we don't want your money. Just go give it to this person and this person and this person. And they started funding litigation. And because, you know, I've said this to people who are managing their own family assets for a long time. If you don't take a piece of your assets in your income and fund an army, you're not going to have assets. I really believe that. If your children are not going to be able to breathe and get oxygen, you're not going to be able to trust them with your inheritance. Yeah. Truly.
If you've taught them, I think it's another one of these kind of parasitical lessons that they're being taught. Defer to the state, not your parent. Right. And the thing is, if your parent won't stand up and say, I'm not going to mask my child, then who can you trust? Right. If your parent won't say, I'm going to protect your airway.
Right.
Who will?
I will tell you one of the most frightening moments of my life. It really struck me. I have a wonderful subscriber who for many years taught autistic children. And then she became a teacher to teachers who teach autistic children. So she kind of moved up and taught people how to teach autistic children. And she had many interesting theories because she'd been working with autistic children her whole life. And she said to me, one of the reasons I believe they recede so far inward is they know they can't trust their parents to protect them.
Oh, wow.
Right. And it just really struck me. Hmm. Right. So we should be the kind of people who our children trust to protect them.
Completely. Completely.
Right. We should be like you, Leslie. Yay. So I just want to tell you from the bottom of my heart how grateful I am. I hope you're half as successful. Well, I hope you're more successful. But if you're only half as successful at this as you were on Wall Street, then the tide will turn. I'm convinced that this is going to make a huge difference. I want everybody to go to your website. I want everybody to become a member. I want everybody to donate, even if it's only a dollar. sign Absolutely. Up and donate and support you. And I'm very, very grateful for everything you do. And if there's anything we can do to help you, you just call out, okay?
I will. Well, Catherine, thank you so much for even having me on and for all that you do for all of us. You are just a beacon to all of us for freedom and truth. And so many of us rely on you and appreciate you. So thank you for having me on and to talk about this. You know, things may get really, really dark, and I expect that they will, but I am going to fight and do everything I can in my power to make the world a better place for my son and for all other young people and for all of us, because I don't want him to have to live in the world that they envision for him. You know, I don't want that. And none of us should. None of us should.
Well, but we're willing. We're willing for freedom to work.
100%.
There we go. Yeah. Leslie, have a great day.
You too, Catherine. Thank you.
Bye.
Bye-bye.